أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن وأما إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانن كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين.
سبحان الله سبحان الله العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وغفل عن ذكرك الغافلون.
From amongst the topics we've covered so far regarding the Rawafid and their rejection of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the topic relating to the hadith of better known as Hadith al-Qirtas, the hadith relating to the writing materials, also named the hadith of the Thursday calamity, and the Rawafid tend to point out this hadith by referring back to this hadith as being the hadith of the Thursday calamity. It is that hadith which has been narrated by Imam al-Bukhari in the Kitab al-Ilm, hadith number 114, and Imam Muslim, hadith number 1637. It also can be found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah.
Within the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari, this hadith can be found in numerous places. Hadith number 3,358, 4,431, 4,432, 5,669, and 7,366.
The hadith is Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, on the authority of Sayyiduna Ibn Abbas, Allah be well pleased with him and his father. قال لما حضر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وفي بيتي رجال فيهم عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم هلما أكتب لكم كتابا لا تضلوا بعده فقال عمر رضي الله عنه إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قد غلب عليه الوجع وعندكم القرآن حسبنا كتاب الله فاختلف أهل البيت فاختصموا منهم من يقول قربوا يكتب لكم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كتابا لن تضلوا بعده ومنهم من يقول ما قال عمر رضي الله عنه فلما أكثر اللغو والاختلاف عند النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال عليه الصلاة والسلام قوموا وفي رواية قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قوموا عني لا ينبغي عندي التنازع فخرجوا ولم يكتب لهم كتابا.
He states that when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was in the illness from which he passed away sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam,
there were men inside the house, and from amongst them was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, bring forth for me a book so I can write that which you will not be misguided after it, meaning after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam will write out a wasiyah or write out his guidance, the people would not be misguided after that. And Umar stated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam stated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is in severe pain, and we have Al-Quran, suffices us the Book of Allah the Most High. The people in the house began to differ and began to argue with one another. From amongst them was the one who would say, bring out writing materials for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam so he can write for you that which will not be misguided after it. And from amongst them were those who stated what Umar radiallahu anhu stated, until voices were raised and the people began to argue in front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who stated, then stand up. It is not necessary that you argue in front of me. And therefore the book was not written. From this, the Rawafid point out that Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu had done the wrong thing by stating that we have the Book of Allah, and the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices us. Because this was an amr, an imperative order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to the companions to bring out writing material. And Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu according to the Rafidi interpretation, disobeyed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A second point they also state is that the reason for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu disobeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was simply because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wanted to write out Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem as being his successor and his sole successor without any fasl, without any gap, meaning the imamat of Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem was to be written. And Umar radiallahu anhu, according to the Rafidi interpretation, knew of this, so he disobeyed the order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A third point they make regarding this is that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had committed bad etiquette, bad adab in front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by raising his voice. This one hadith is from amongst those hadith which the Rawafid present in order to state that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was not someone fit enough to be caliph. For further detail as to why this statement cannot be true, that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was not fit to be khalifa, see the lecture which covers the uprightness of the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een, which proves that all companions by Al-Quran and As-Sunnah Al-Mutawatira, mass transmission, as well as ijma' are upright. And what we mean by uprightness is not ma'asum. We do not mean ma'asum, meaning protected from sin. That is not the definition of uprightness. For more detail, you should go back to that lecture. A few points must be mentioned regarding this narration. Firstly, that the narrator of the hadith was Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And numerous students of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrate this hadith from him. Each version has different wordings. We find in the Saudi translation, the Najdi translation of the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari, we find that the Iranian-backed Rawafid movement quote the English translation of the Wahhabi-backed translation, the Najdi-backed translation of Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari, and these two groups, the Khawarij and the Rawafid, are always at loggerheads with one another, because since the fall of the Uthmani Empire, the Sunni, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, have not had any state defending Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yet Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah remain amongst people. لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي ظَاهِرِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. They shall never cease to remain a group from amongst my nation apparent upon the truth. They quote the translation of the word which is found in some of these narrations, where Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhuma is quoted as saying that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is delirious. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكِ. So they have quoted the word as delirious, meaning Sayyidina Umar applied the word delirious to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Yet, like I stated, that the hadith has been narrated by numerous students of Abdullah bin Abbas, not all of them mention the word, which is hajara. The word is hajara in Arabic. We find in some of those versions that al-hamzatul istifhamiyah, meaning the hamza of questioning, the Hamza of questioning. So some of the narrations have come with Al-Hamza Tul-Istifamiya, the Hamza which comes sometimes in front of a word in order to bring about a question. So the true translation of Hajara would be that if has he abandoned us, has he abandoned us, meaning because Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was stating that we have the book of Allah amongst us for guidance, he also stated Ahajara, has he abandoned us, meaning has the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam abandoned us, meaning he has not abandoned us. And the Hamzatul Istifamiyah also comes for ta'ajjub, surprise. In some of the versions, we find that the Hamzatul Istifamiyah is hidden. Meaning, you will find the text as mentioning Hajara, but it is understood, anyone who knows basic Arabic grammar would know that Al-Hamzatul Istifamiyah is hidden, mahdoof, in the text. So it is wrong of the Najdi translators to translate this as being delirious, meaning he is delirious. This is a wrong translation. The right translation would be, has he forsaken us or abandoned us? Ahajara. And remember that Al-Hamzatul Istifamiyah is always hidden in the text, in the versions in which Al-Hamzatul Istifamiyah is not found. So the Rawafid cannot use this narration to justify the cause of stating that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was using inappropriate language for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We also infer certain questions for our Rawafid opponents. The first question around this hadith is, was the order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam at this particular occasion fard? Was it an obligation? After they answer that question, if they answer that it was not fard, then we understand that by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu not carrying out the action which he was ordered to do to bring writing material, and we'll go further down as to who this order was directed to, then he had not done anything wrong. But if we are given the answer that the amr, the order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam here was obligatory, because remember, as we studied in Usul al-Fiqh, in Nur al-Anwar and other works, Al-Husami, Musallam al-Thubut, you remember Salim and Shifa, when we read Nur al-Anwar in there, Mullah Jeevan states that without an indication, qareenatun sarifa, without any type of indication which points otherwise, all the orders of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are always for obligation, wujub. Unless there's an indicating factor which points out that the imperative is not for wujub, is not for obligation. Like in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَإِذَا حَلَلْتُمْ فَاصْطَادُوا, after you break away from the ihram, then go hunting. This order to go hunting is not an order of obligation, because it is understood it's an order for validation. So here, if the order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was given for imperative, then we understand that while the position of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that this order was not for imperative, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would not have left the order then. He would have insisted on telling the companions, bring me writing materials. He would not have left the order. But because some of the Rawafid insist that this was for obligation, then the messengership of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was not complete according to the Rawafid interpretation. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter number 5 of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, verse 67, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. O Messenger, communicate that which has been revealed to you from your Lord, and if you do not do so, you have not communicated his message, meaning the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If he does not communicate the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has not fulfilled his messengership. But we, the Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, believe that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not leave anything except he clarified that thing. And he clarified everything and fulfilled his messengership completely. But if we were to take the Rafidi interpretation of this hadith, this would mean that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did not have the wasiyah written down, the will, the statement written down. Secondly, if it were fard, then why did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam not give the order again when requested for the second time? He told the people to get out of the room. He did not repeat the order. And therefore this shows, this is qarina sarifa, and a clear indication that the order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was not for obligation. It becomes very clear that the order here, the imperative here, was not for obligation, but rather it was something, it was out of recommendation. It was out of recommendation. Another thing to note is that we covered the hadith relating to Ghadir al-Khum, the hadith of Man kuntu mawlahu fa'aliyun mawlahu. And we covered that this hadith does not mean that Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem is the direct successor of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam as the Rawafid understand. But if that hadith, Man kuntu mawlahu fa'aliyun mawlahu, if you read the Shia version, the Rafidi version, we will find that they state every companion who was present gave bay'ah, gave oath of allegiance to Sayyiduna Ali. Now if that hadith points out to the fact that all companions who were present understood that hadith to mean the successorship and the stipulation of Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem as being the direct successor of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what was the need for the wasiyah, the will, to be rewritten again if it were already understood? This is another question that must be answered. What was the need of that wasiyah, that will, to be written? And if it were so important, if it were something, if it were an obligation, then why was it not fulfilled? Now, the Rawafid also state that the wasiyah was written and it was given to Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem. We reply to that what good does a wasiyah do if it is in the hands of Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem and is not given out to the Muslim nation? When the hadith clearly states that you Muslims will not be misguided after me with this book, with the wasiyah, with the writing of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A third point here is that if the wasiyah was not given and it were not written, then why did the narrators know of the three statements which are mentioned at the end of some of the versions of the hadith? The narrators state toward the end of the hadith, they mention two of the three statements of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. One of them is to take out all mushrikeen from the Jaziratul Arab, the Arabian Peninsula. A second one is regarding the delegations which come to present them with hospitality, etc. The third point is not mentioned by the sub-narrator. But the point is, how did the narrators know of that wasiya? How did they know of that will? The only feasible answer we can give is that they knew of the will because it was said verbally to them. It was said verbally to the people present, meaning that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam did not have the will written out, but he stated the will verbally. If you read the narration, you will find that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam stated what he wanted to say. The narrators mentioning those things which were mentioned in the statement can be found in the ahadith sporadically spread out within Al-Bukhari in some of the numbers which I gave at the beginning of the lecture. Fourth point, we clearly understand from this narration that two groups differed with each other. One group was the opinion of Sayyidina Umar, and this first group, the other group, was of the opinion that the writing materials be brought. The question here is, why did not those who disagree carry out the order? Meaning, if there were two groups, why did not the other group go and get the writing materials? This would mean that if Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, in accordance with the Rafid, the interpretation was sinful for not obeying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, then so were the people in the other group, because they clearly did not bring the writing materials. And we do not accept any interpretation that they were scared of Umar radiallahu anhu. We do not believe for one moment that the people of the Ahlul Bayt were ever frightened of anyone, as was shown by Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in the battle in the plains of Karbala. No Ahlul Bayt person suffers from the disease of cowardice, as the Rawafid would want us to believe, by promoting such beliefs as taqiyya and other things. So we also know that Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem was in the room, but it does not state what opinion Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem took. Did he take the opinion of Sayyidina Umar, or did he take the other opinion? And if he took the opinion of Sayyidina Umar, then he is in the same boat, so to speak, as Sayyidina Umar. And we believe Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu did not carry out any wrong, and neither did Sayyidina Ali. If he were in the other group, then the question comes, why did not Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem have the will written? If it is stated that he did have the will written, then one may ask the question, why was that will not brought out for the guidance of the nation of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam? If we look at Fathul Bari, volume 1, page 278, we find, because if the Rawafid are to quote Sunni sources, they must quote all sources, because some of the narrations clarify other narrations. We find that the order was given to Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem. In Fathul Bari, Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani rahimahullah states with reference that the order that was given to Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem. But point number 5 here is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam passed away on Monday. This order was given on Thursday, leaving Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the people to write out the will. But yet, as we know, no one wrote out any will. Now we must ask the question, if the Rawafid make Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an sinful, then they must also make the Ahlul Bayt sinful. And we cannot have such an interpretation. Neither interpretations are valid. Neither were the Shaykhain Abu Bakr and Umar sinful in what they did, and neither were the Ahlul Bayt sinful in anything. But we know that because revelation descended regularly in the house of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, writing materials would always have been handy, meaning they would have been ready to bring out writing materials to write down anything. And the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in always had writing materials ready to write down any type of revelation. So we understand from this that Friday, Saturday and Sunday were 3 days when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was ill, and yet the wasiyah was not written down. We must also ask the question as to who were those present with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during those days. Who were the ones present with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during those days? We find in the Shia sources, the Rafidi sources, in Hayatul Qulub of Mullah Baqir Majlisi, volume 2, page 983. And we also find in Irshad Shaykh Mufid, page 99, in the chapter of the request of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for ink and writing materials,